Air America Radio News, I'm Bill Crowley. Jail time for phone jamming. A former Republican National Committee official sentenced today to 10 months in prison for his role in the jamming of New Hampshire Democrats' telephones on Election Day 2002. James Tobin was found guilty in December of harassment by telephone. Prosecutors said he helped arrange more than 800 hang-up calls that jammed to get out the vote phone lines set up by the state Democratic Party and the Manchester Firefighters Union for about an hour. Republican John Sununu defeated then-Governor Gene Shaheen for the Senate that day in what was considered a cliffhanger. At the time, Tobin was a regional official with the Republican National Committee and the National Republican Senatorial Committee, overseeing Senate campaigns in several states, including New Hampshire and Maine. He later became New England chairman of George Bush's 2004 election campaign, but he stepped down when Democrats accused him of playing a role in the phone jamming. In addition to prison, he gets a $10,000 fine, 2 years probation. The Senate today agreed to give millions of illegal immigrants a shot at U.S. citizenship, but they also backed construction of 370 miles of triple-layered fencing along the U.S.-Mexico border. Prospects of the bill clearing Congress, though, clouded after a withering attack against George Bush by a prominent House Republican. House Judiciary Chairman James Sensenbrenner says what he's proposing is amnesty. Sensenbrenner says he'll lead House negotiators in any attempt to draft a compromise immigration bill later this year, and he opposes that guest worker program. Meanwhile, thousands of demonstrators in Washington today, hoping Congress would hear their demands for immigrant rights. But in a concession to conservatives, the Senate also unanimously agreed any immigrant convicted of a felony or multiple misdemeanors will be denied a chance for citizenship. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld says helping to guard the Mexican border will sharpen the skills of the 6,000 National Guard troops assigned to the duty. Rumsfeld testifying on the Bush administration's defense budget and the request for an extra $65 billion for Iraq and Afghanistan. Israel today reopened the main cargo crossing to the Gaza Strip, an important outlet for Palestinian imports and exports. The Karni crossing has been closed for much of the year, largely due to militant attacks. The reopening signals a policy shift aimed at easing some of Israel's security restrictions on the Palestinians. The Palestinians rely on the crossing for exporting fruits, vegetables, and for getting much of their food. This is Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley.
good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here on the Air America Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in. We are going to be joined tonight in about half an hour by Jonathan Tessini. He is a Democratic candidate for the Senate from the state of New York. He's going to call in from his 600-mile intra-state bike tour. He's traveling by bicycle around the state of New York, bringing his message to people who are listening to what he has to say. The message essentially is bring the troops home now. I mentioned this last night that he was going to be here, and I hope some of you have gone to his website. If you haven't, I have to tell you, I spent some time there today reading his position on the issues. If ever there was a Democrat that progressive Democrats, real Democrats, should rally around, it is this man. It is not Hillary Clinton, for God's sake. Let's let Hillary Clinton finish out her term as senator and go on to head a university or a Democratic think tank or the Democratic Party or whatever she likes to do, or get involved in humanitarian work like her husband has gotten involved in. But Jonathan Tessini, in my humble opinion, should be the newest senator from New York State after the ballots are counted this November. His website is TessiniForNewYork.org. Those of you who live in New York probably visited his site. If you don't live in New York, check this man out anyway. Tassini, Tessini, Tassini, for New York, spell out New York, .org. This is a progressive Democrat. This is the kind of Democrat that I think would have evolved from the old blue-collar working-class coalition Democrats that made such an impression on me as a kid growing up. This is the man. If I lived in New York, I would be working for this guy. I swear I would. Big day in Washington, D.C. The pimps and the players were out and about. Rove was up on the Hill, either being indicted or pushing the Republicans to accept Bush's ridiculous guest worker program. You never know. And by the way, we're going to talk a little bit tonight about a statement Mark Ash, the founder of truthout.org, has made about the indictments, or the indictment of Karl Rove that was reported by Jason Leopold last week. And a lot of people are questioning the credibility of both Leopold and truthout.org. So we're going to address that in a little bit later in the program tonight. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be talking so slowly. I'm just trying to get my head around what happened today in Washington. Bush signed his tax break for the middle class today, the working class, and this old vampire, Donald Rumsfeld, and his puppet, Marine Corps General Peter Pace, were testifying before the Senate Subcommittee on Defense Appropriations. That got interesting. Rummy says he can't confirm or deny the existence of written torture guidelines for detainees in Army training manuals. You evil old bastard. Oh, my God, this guy just personifies death and evil. And speaking of confirming or denying, Tony Snowjob virtually admitted that Fox News was the official White House network. Somebody asked him a question today and about something that was reported on ABC, and he said, well, it was reported on a competing network, ABC, Jesus God. And Chuckle Nuts gave away millions of dollars of your money and my money if you are in the middle class or the working class, whatever that means anymore. I guess it's for those of us who earn between, what, $25,000 and $100,000 a year. Is that a fair definition? I don't know anymore. Below 25, is that the insulting term, the working poor? Maybe it's not an insult. I don't know anymore. But Bush said he was cutting a tax break for America's families, for the working families. And it's a lie, of course. He did give away millions of dollars in tax cuts to needy working families, if needy working families are those that earn more than $1 million a year. Yeah, you know, let's lighten up a little bit. It's hard to live on $1 million a year these days. You know, it just is. It just, among other things, the price of fuel for your Hummer 3 and your private jet, you know. Now, several people wrote to me about this over the past 24 hours. The three phone companies over the past 3 days have come out and categorically denied USA Today's story that they were providing data, phone numbers, all sorts of data to the National Security Agency. The phone companies, let me tell you right now, are lying. They're lying through their teeth, all three of them. AT&T, Bell, South, and Verizon are lying. Now, they issued these statements denying that they've handed over phone records. So that leaves us with three possibilities, right? The USA Today story is bat squeeze. It's not true. Second possibility, as thinkprogress.org puts it, the telephone companies left enough wiggle room in the statements that both the USA Today story and their statements are accurate. Or, three, the statements from the telephone companies are inaccurate. It can only be one of the three. Now, as Think Progress writes, only a company that conceals their transactions and activities from the public would violate securities law. But a presidential memorandum signed by Chucklenuts on May 5th, allows the director of national intelligence, the mass killer John Negroponte, to authorize the company to go ahead and conceal activities related to national security. Do you understand that? It gives him presidential powers, in effect. Limited, but presidential powers. Now, as Think Progress points out, there's no evidence that this order has been used by the killer John Negroponte with respect to the telephone companies. Of course, if it was used, we would know about it. So I think that is a valid explanation of what happened. Now, floating around, I think Tom Hartman, one of our colleagues who is syndicated by Air America Radio, went over this either today or yesterday. Maybe it was today. And an email from Bridget said Tom Hartman's reading of this executive. It's not really an executive order, although that's how it was first reported. It is a presidential memorandum. There is a legal difference. But the presidential memorandum that turns over executive power to Negroponte was apparently just an absolute last-minute, throw-it-together effort to give deniability to the three phone companies, to allow them to lie. As Tom Hartman said on his program, the executive order, or the presidential memorandum, gives Negroponte the authority to waive the requirement that publicly traded companies must tell the truth about their operations to the public and to their shareholders. In other words, give them the authority to lie about what they did without fear of prosecution. This is exactly what happened. There's no doubt in my mind. None. Absolutely none. And as Bridget writes, so after letting us all rant and rave and jump up and down for a week, suddenly the phone companies come out with who? Us? We would never do such a thing. And they can get away with it. And make those of us who understand what these filthy bastards have done look like conspiracy nuts. How about that, huh? So John Negroponte was temporarily, and I've got the document right in front of me, memorandum for the Director of National Intelligence, assignment of function relating to granting of authority for issuance of certain directives. You can find it if you look around the internet. It's there. And it was registered, put in the Federal Register on May 12th. On May 12th, John Negroponte had presidential power to give permission to the three telephone companies named the USA Today article, permission to lie, which they immediately did. Stirring up the dirt, always have clean shirts to
play around with. You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
When it comes to HIV and young Americans, some politicians promote an abstinence-only policy. This is Al Franken, and I'm encouraging abstinence from complacency and inaction. Take action in the fight against AIDS and help make AIDS history.
There are more than 75 walks happening all over the country throughout the year. For a comprehensive guide that will help you locate the AIDS Walk event closest to you, visit AIDSWalk.org. That's AIDSWalk.org. A message from Air America Radio.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
FISA law was written in 1978. We're having a discussion in 2006. It's a different world.
The section of... Well, let me put it this way. This is how it's been posted to the Federal Register. why the phone companies said nothing for several days after the story came out in USA Today. And then this week started tentatively and you would think rather meekly denying that they had any. This is terrible. This is just awful. I realize there's a war in Iraq. I realize that that we still have displaced kids from Katrina. This filthy, putrid administration that is destroying the country. Now, by presidential directive, the death squad mass killer Negroponte has the legal authority, or had the legal authority. Here's what it says. With respect to matters concerning the national security of the United States, no duty or liability, under paragraph 2 of this subsection, shall be imposed upon any person acting in cooperation with the head of any federal department or agency responsible for such matters, if such an act in cooperation with such head of a department or agency was done upon the specific written directive of the head of that department or agency pursuant to presidential authority to issue such directives. I know it's just gobbledygook. It's very simple. There's no liability, none, to any person acting in cooperation with Negroponte. The people who came out and made the statements, the corporations, don't forget, corporations are people too. They have no liability here. This absolves these corporations from their responsibility under, I believe, the Security and Exchange Act that required, this. I think it was another one of Roosevelt's laws passed during the Roosevelt era, if I'm not mistaken, that required companies to tell the truth. Maybe not. Maybe it was something that was passed recently. But, it is such an outrage. Now, how do you find out about this? Well, you don't if you're the average American like I am. The only reason I know about this is because I got a bunch of emails. Now, how Tom Hartman? Well, Tom Hartman's not an average American. He's kind of a genius. But for us average folks, how do we find out about this? Did you read about this in today's paper? No, neither did I. Is it going to be in tomorrow's paper? Do you think the New York Times will put this on page one above the fold? How about the Washington Post? Maybe USA Today, in an attempt to refute the lies that are out there now by the heads of AT&T, Bell South, and Verizon. But is this not astonishing? Remember why remember why Clinton was impeached? Because he lied about his, whatever it was, with Monica, remember? And remember the hypocritical snot-asses from the Republican Party in the House of Representatives, Henry Hyde and Bob Barr and all these miserable little pissants, all of whom, every last one of them, having had the same kind of ugliness, worse, much worse, in their white male backgrounds. Are any of them squawking and screaming, little sphincter muscles tightening up over what Bush has done? No, of course not. Oh, Bob Barr, now that he's no longer in Congress and feels safe, I guess. He's flipped out over some of these security violations, but that's only because Bob Barr doesn't want anybody checking too deeply at his past, or it might ruin whatever he's got going. So there you have it. The squawking and screaming. And I don't listen to right-wing talk radio. I would imagine that the pig man and his butt boy, Sean Hannity, were probably all over these denials in the past few days saying, see, there's another example of the liberal press run amok. But I think everybody should understand this, should know the truth. I didn't know the president had that kind of authority, any president. I don't refer to Bush as president. He's an ass. I didn't know a president of the United States had the authority to delegate that kind of power, woo, to anyone, well, I guess to a department head or an agency head, that he can delegate presidential authority to the extent that permission can be given to these corporations to lie, absolutely lie. And how long did it take the corporations to lie? Well, this this memorandum was filed. When was it filed? Oh hell, I don't know. About a week ago, when the story hit. The executive order was dated May 5th. What's the date today, Kathy? Is this the 17th? So 12 days ago, probably knowing that the story was coming. So like the good corporate fascists that they are, the executives of these three companies have taken a flying leap through the loophole and come out and lied to the American public and said, no, we didn't do any of this. We didn't do a thing.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
Nice shot! Time out!
Basketball's fun, but I need a cold drink.
My mom's making rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Ovaltine?
Let's go!
I guess the kids will be home soon.
Let's make rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Come on! Sarah's mom's making
rich chocolate Ovaltine.
All right!
My kids love Ovaltine's rich chocolate taste.
And I love all those vitamins and minerals that you won't find in Nesquik powder.
Mom, we're back!
Who wants Ovaltine?
We do!
We better make more.
More Ovaltine, please!
Some of the best minds in the automotive industry, using some of the most sophisticated design facilities. Engineers from Ford Motor Company are working together on a common mission, creating safer cars for our families and our children. Ford is renewing its commitment to driving American innovation. At the core of that effort is your safety, because every single life saved is worth it. Ford, driving American innovation.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 26 before the hour. Back on May 8th, about 9 days ago, New York Times columnist Bob Herbert, who happens to be one of my favorite writers, wrote an interesting column entitled "Clarity versus Celebrity," and these are the first two sentences that Bob Herbert wrote. Few people have ever heard of Jonathan Tessini. He's a low-key labor organizer and writer from Upper Manhattan who is trying to piece together a primary challenge to the re-election bid of Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton, primarily because of her stance on the Iraq War. You can read this the rest of this column by just going to New York Times and look it up. It's from May 8th, and it's Bob Herbert's. Now, on May 11th, according to his website, Jonathan Tessini began a 600-mile ride through the state of New York to focus attention on the damage caused by the Iraq War and to spread his message, which is bring the troops home now. Now, this is to be a 16-city, 20-day voyage, and he's going to talk with people from all walks of life, hearing their stories and seeking their support for an immediate end to the war. He's going to be gathering signatures on a petition calling on the Democratic State Party Convention to pass a resolution demanding an immediate withdrawal of all U.S. troops from Iraq. And that convention is in Buffalo, New York, May 30th and 31st. Buffalo is Jonathan's last stop. And he joins us tonight by phone from Woodstock, New York. Jonathan, thanks for calling in. Good to hear from you.
Well, Mike, thanks for having me.
I went to your website today, and I have to say I'm absolutely in your camp. Every issue that you have on your website, and I hope a lot of people will go there, every issue that you have laid out is, as far as I'm concerned, the position taken by a truly progressive Democrat and somebody that this country desperately needs in the Senate.
Well, thanks, Mike. Our campaign, I jumped into this race primarily because of the Iraq War, because the position of the incumbent has been unconscionable. You've talked about this for a long, long time. Her position is, as Bob Herbert pointed out later in the column that you mentioned, her position is indistinguishable from Bush, Cheney, and Condoleezza Rice, and I don't believe that New York voters in the Democratic primary want someone like that to represent them. And frankly, I don't think that many good Democrats around the country want someone like that to represent their views.
I would agree with that. Do you think that that the average Democrats around the country who may not identify themselves as progressive because the term scares them, may not identify themselves as liberals because the term scares them, but average Democrats around the country, is there enough backbone in the average Democrat to back a candidate, whether it is you running for Senate in New York or another candidate running in a different state for the House or the Senate, who takes the sorts of positions that you're taking? Do you understand that question?
Yeah, I think so. let me try to come back to you. If I haven't answered it, let's have a little dialogue. I think the answer is yes. And I think that many Democrats, and frankly, beyond the Democratic Party, I like to say that my race, even though the media tries to make it sound like as a challenge from the so-called left, mm-hmm. and I'm proud to be a progressive, have been my whole career, my whole life, really what we're talking about are majoritarian positions. The majority of people want an end to the war in Iraq. The majority of people say they want single-payer health insurance, which my opponent has never been for. The majority of people say that they are afraid of corporate power because of what's happening to their pensions and their standard of living.
And their privacy.
Their privacy. And the incumbent, Hillary Clinton, has sat on the board of Walmart for 6 years. She has cozied up to corporate power at every step. She's for so-called free trade. She says NAFTA is a good thing, and I'm sure you've spoken about this too. I mean, it's almost a gift. She now is embracing Rupert Murdoch,
who's raising
money for her. And there's nobody that I can think of who represents the worst of what has been done to this country than Rupert Murdoch and Fox News. And this senator from New York, a Democrat, is embracing him. I think that's appalling. I think voters, given the chance, if you take away the name recognition and celebrity, would vote for me over her in a heartbeat.
Well, I would agree with you. I agree with your position that or your statement that the majoritarian position in this country is in agreement with what, for example, what you have at your website. What there's a candidate challenging Dianne Feinstein in California, whose positions on these issues closely parallel yours. She is running as a progressive Democrat in the state of California against Dianne Feinstein. So I think, I honestly believe that some of you candidates who really have come back to, if you'll pardon that kind of nostalgic take, come back to the principles of the Democratic Party. The only thing that concerns me, and it may be a concern that's not necessary here, is the fact that progressive ideas or liberal ideas, or the terms progressive and liberal, have been so chopped up, diced, and sliced by the flying monkey right in this country. A lot of people just don't want to, you know, oh, gee, can I vote for a progressive? Can I vote for a liberal? That's the thing that concerns me. I think in the privacy of the voting booth, they'll say yes.
I think I would differentiate between some elected officials and people who have no backbone and are running for cover when we should be standing up and taking on the Republicans about the wiretapping. And, you know, give an example. Russ Feingold is standing out there alone trying to push a censure motion. All the Democrats are running for cover, including my opponent, Hillary Clinton. If I was in the Senate, I'd be leading the fight with Feingold on that question. But I think if you take those people and put them aside, I can tell you I've been campaigning 4 or 5 months, and there are literally thousands of people I've met who are hungry for that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of my political heroes was Paul Wellstone. And one of the things that Paul Wellstone said as a slogan, which we have borrowed explicitly, vote for what you believe in. He would go into these rural areas in Minnesota, conservative areas, and he'd get a lot of support from people because those people reacted to his talking about health care for people, and I'm going to save your pensions, and I'm going to be, there's 99 senators who are there representing the pharmaceutical industry and the insurance industry, I'm going to represent you. And I think there's a ground shaking in this country. I can't promise that it's going to come out in my race, mm-hmm. although I think the fact that I'm running against one of the most visible Democrats in the country, one who has an abominable record in terms of what you and I would think are important principles to protect, I think that can draw attention. Something is going to happen in this country because we're in such a crisis that I think people are scared, they're afraid, they're pissed off. Whether they turn to, you know, a progressive Democrat or potentially a third party candidate, something is going to happen soon.
I hope you're right. I hear from a lot of Democrats who think like you do, hosting this program. I hear from them in emails. I hear from them in phone calls. And when I'm out and about, you know, either gathering with Democrats like that, I hear the same thing. And I'm just hoping against hope that people like you, people like Marcy Winograd, who is the woman running against Feinstein, people like Paul Wellstone, that you folks can prevail. I think the survival of our system of government absolutely depends on it. Let me ask you just briefly about a couple of issues here, because I think people can go to your website, but I think they want to hear this. Your position on Medicare or single-payer health care. Let's talk about that for a second.
Sure. If I could say, our website is TassiniForNewYork.org.
Right.
T-A-S-I-N-I. I've learned that I have to spell that out because I'm not mm-hmm. a Smith and I'm not a Jones.
Right.
T-A-S-I-N-I for New York, all spelled out. You know, it's, again, astounding to me, and this is where I think we reach out to the 48 million Americans who don't have health care, who are across the political spectrum. We are the richest nation on earth, and the idea that people do not have health care from cradle to grave is absolutely outrageous. And there's one single reason for it, and that's the power of the pharmaceutical industry and the insurance industry.
That's right.
My opponent will never stand up to them. I will. And it's not just a moral issue now. And this is what I like to talk about when I campaign. I'm a proud member of the UAW, and it's an amazing fact to know that General Motors spends more on health care than it does stealing its cars. And $1,200 on every car, GM car that you would buy, are health care costs alone. So we can make, aside from the moral argument, we can make an economic argument that says that if we don't have a single payer, we're putting our companies at a competitive disadvantage, not just in this country, but certainly internationally. So there's an economic powerful argument that I think lots of people will buy into, and I think it's an easy sell.
Mm-hmm. I think it's an absolute necessary sell. This country is spiraling into, I don't know, where do we sit now? In the list of industrialized countries where it concerns overall health care or the approach to health, I think we're around 17.
We're terrible. We spend now about 15% of our gross domestic product on that. we could reduce that dramatically if we went to single payer. You know, here's again the most outrageous thing, which we often don't stop to think about it. The private health insurance industry spends billions of dollars employing people in the business whose sole job it is to sit at the phones and figure out how to deny people health care.
Yes.
Now, I find that to be astounding. If we went to single payer, and it would be still, you could be able to choose your doctors, but if it was taken out of the hands, basically, of the industry to decide, you would eliminate billions of dollars in those kinds of administrative costs.
We have, I think, three critical issues. The war in Iraq, which is undermining just about every democratic principle in this country right now. Single-payer health care. And then the other one, and this is on your website, you title it New Rules for the Economy. Let me take a break here, Jonathan. We'll come back. And if you can just explain what you mean by New Rules for the Economy.
Sure.
And for folks who are listening via computer or have a computer handy, go to Jonathan's website, tasinifornewyork.org. That's T-A-S-I-N-I, for F-O-R, newyork.org. And go to the issues section and check out this New Rules for the Economy. We're going to talk about it coming back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Look at your radio. Kind of cool, right? From somewhere far, far away, progressive voices are beamed directly to wherever you are on Air America Radio. You know, there's so much to say. We've tried archiving previous shows inside that radio of yours. We've tried stuffing it full of video feeds of Al Franken and Jerry Springer, The Majority Report, and more. But that part doesn't seem to be working. So the really great stuff that won't fit inside your radio is available right now from Air America Premium. We tried stuffing the homepage in your radio, but that didn't work either. So please use your computer instead. Find out about Air America Premium today at airamericaradio.com.
2 years ago, I had a heart attack, right here in our restaurant. If it weren't for Bayer aspirin and some quick thinking on my son's part, who knows? To me, Bayer's an amazing thing. I mean, just think about it. The same Bayer aspirin my son takes for his backaches and my daughter for headaches helped save my life. Bayer's an important part of this family, always will be. It truly is a wonder drug.
Genuine Bayer aspirin, working wonders every day. Aspirin taken as directed by a doctor during a suspected heart attack. Use as directed.
a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's more Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
10 before the hour, we're talking with Jonathan Tessini, who has launched a campaign for the United States Senate in New York State against the one of the incumbents there, Hillary Rodham Clinton. You can find out about his campaign and about the man himself. Go to TessiniForNewYork.org. There is also a section, I say this when we have candidates on, from the progressive wing of the Democratic Party. There is a place there where you can donate to this campaign. We talk about this all the time, about keeping corporate money out, keeping these huge bundling organizations out. So listen to what the man has to say. Check out his website and send a donation. You have to do this. We all have to do this, right? Jonathan, the section of your website where you talk about issues, you have a section called New Rules for the Economy. Can you expand on it a little bit? What are the new rules?
Well, I think the overarching idea is something that I've felt strongly for a long time, is that corporations have way too much power in this country. And I think going back to what we talked about a few minutes ago, I think that people generally are afraid about that, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, whatever, where you place yourself on the political spectrum. If you look at these terrible trade deals that we've gotten into, I'm for trade, but we need fair trade, and trade agreements that start out with a blank page and say, okay, trade's about trying to make people's communities better, make workers' lives better, not about corporate rights and capital rights. So I won't go through all of them, but if you check that out, the overarching idea is that we have to take control back over the economy. And that means putting the power back in when people, and we can do that. This isn't just sort of a naive thing. It's all about who we vote into office and who we vote out of office. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, energy, people, energy costs are going through the roof now. People are paying upwards of $3 a gallon, you know, at the pump. We need a completely new alternative energy policy. I'm for something called the Apollo Alliance, which would invest billions of dollars into alternative energy. In New York State alone, you could create 200,000 good-paying unionized jobs if we moved away from an oil-based economy to alternative energy just in the next 10 years.
Are you there, Jonathan?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
That was a period.
By God, it was, wasn't it?
I know some politicians go on and on and on, but I want to give
you
a chance.
I appreciate the brevity, being the soul of politics, or should be. The nuclear energy, that is starting to pique some interest again, and I think some of the people whom over the years I thought were anti-nuke, and I'm starting to question my own position on this, are starting themselves to say nuclear energy may be a way to go if, and then the conversation sort of trails off. I'm left with the idea of the byproducts of the production of nuclear power and how to handle those byproducts. And as far as I know, disposing of plutonium at this part still, or at this point, still has not been determined how you do that. But what is your position on nuclear energy?
I'm 100% against it. I have been my whole life. I've called for the closure of Indian Point nuclear power plant here in New York. Just what you said, and you're right, there is now an attempt to use the fear about rising energy costs to move people to nuclear energy. It is impossible to deal with the waste. It is impossible to guarantee to people they can be safe from it. And the most important point is that we have so many other alternatives that could replace nuclear power and replace oil-based economy, and all we need is the willingness to be able to break the power of big oil and the big energy companies and move to those kinds of technologies. They're all there. We could have, I believe, actually, that the next Bill Gateses of the future century are going to be those people who figure out how to exploit alternative energy in big ways. That's where fortunes are going to be made.
Are you suggesting somewhere in your approach to economic issues here, and I don't know, this is a legitimate question, it's not a challenge, are you suggesting that perhaps the way to reestablish this country as a place where working people could really secure good jobs, whether it's a working man or a working woman, where there's not a race to the bottom, where we're not in constant fear, those of us who work in industry or even farming, that the jobs are going to be exported in the technology sector, jobs are going to be imported. Are you suggesting there's a way to reestablish good-paying American jobs by kind of saying, okay, the jobs that are gone, let's develop new technologies. Let's take a look. Let's keep moving forward.
Well, let me say in a couple ways, and it's interesting that the question of work and the power at work touches on so many issues right now, and it even touches on immigration, which I'll come to in a second. But I think that people need to understand, I think we often forget, that the economy is not just some natural force that happens like the sun rising and setting. It's about power and decisions that are made. The fact that jobs went abroad is not some natural occurrence. It's because someone decided, Bill Clinton, by the way, back when he argued for NAFTA, and now Hillary Clinton, that we should have this thing called globalization and so-called free trade. Now, those are just marketing phrases. That's all they are. What they are about is giving the power to corporations to decide the ebb and flow of jobs and how people are going to survive. I believe that we do have to figure out how to manage the world resources, but it should come from people who are representing, if you will, workers. There should be actually a global trade organization, but it shouldn't be in the hands of corporations. People have to be able to control those organizations so we can figure out how to make sure that work is distributed in a sane way. It's about unionization. John Edwards, I'm not necessarily flogging his campaign, John Edwards has been campaigning about the question about rich and poor in America, and recently he decided that he was going to attach himself to a nationwide campaign to organize hotel workers, the reason, into unions. And the reason he did that is he understands the connection between having strong unions, having people in unions, and the divide between rich and poor.
Hey, Jonathan, can you hold on? Can you carry over one more segment? We have.
I've got all the time in the world.
All right, let me. We normally don't do this, but I want people to hear more of what you've got to say, and I want to hear more of what you got to say. So if you'll, this is like an 8-minute break. So if you'll just hold on, we'll come back after the top of the hour. Okay. We're talking with Jonathan Tessini. He is running for the United States Senate in the state of New York against the incumbent Hillary Rodham Clinton. Stick around. In the meantime, during the break, go to his website, TessiniForNewYork.org. Seriously, go to his website. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 100,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals on the iMed and Cigna Dental Networks. Call right now and you can try the Optimum Health Discount Card risk-free for 30 days. That's right, your membership entitles you to full access to the entire Cigna Dental Network and iMed Network for you to try risk-free for 30 days. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Start saving up to 60% off now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
Air America Radio News, I'm Bill Crowley. New NSA briefings. National Intelligence Director John Negroponte has now declassified a list of 30 congressional briefings, the Bush administration says, have been held since the NSA began the no-warrant surveillance program after 9/11. Half of those briefings took place between October 25, 2001, and the public disclosure of the program back in December. The other 15 occurred over the past 5 months and included an expanded group of lawmakers who were told of operational details of the program. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi has been pushing for the disclosure of the list because the Bush administration repeatedly has said appropriate lawmakers were briefed, just who was included in those sessions previously unknown. And the Bush administration now has agreed to brief the full House and Senate intelligence committees on the NSA surveillance activities. Briefing sessions held today by the NSA Director, Lieutenant General Keith Alexander. Private briefings giving senators new information ahead of the confirmation hearings, which start tomorrow, for General Michael Hayden, former NSA boss, nominated to take over at CIA. A spokeswoman for the Minutemen Border Patrol Group says George Bush's plan to use National Guard troops on the Mexican border falls short. The group still planning to erect a short security fence of its own on private land along the border. Hundreds, they say, have signed up to work on it Memorial Day weekend. And the Senate today also approved an addition to the immigration bill calling for building 370 miles of triple-layered fencing along the Mexican border and 500 miles of vehicle barriers. Iraq finally getting a government, it seems. Prime Minister-designate Nouri al-Maliki will present his cabinet to Parliament on Saturday. They will convene to vote on each nominee and the government's program. In Washington, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld said he understood the cabinet will be announced then. That means a simple majority of the members who show up for the session have to vote for the cabinet. Testifying to a Senate committee today, Rumsfeld was asked by Senator Patrick Leahy and others about troop withdrawals from Iraq. Rumsfeld said he could not promise it. Iran's president ridiculed suggestions of incentives to get the Iranians to abandon their nuclear program today. In his speech, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad said Iran has no hope of anything good from UN allies, and he said they can keep their incentives as a gift. He says Iran is being treated by the U.S. and the allies like a child who would give up gold for chocolate. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome back. It's about 6:30 past the hour. Malloy here on Air America Radio. We are talking with Jonathan Tessini. We're going to pick that conversation up in just a moment, but got a big correction here. Marcy Winograd, whom I mentioned in the last segment, is not running against Senator Dianne Feinstein in California. Marcy Winograd is running against Jane Harman for the U.S. House District that Jane Harman now represents in the Los Angeles area. Colleen Fernald is the candidate running against Senator Dianne Feinstein. And she has a website, too, ColleenFernaldForSenate.org. I apologize for that mix-up. Colleen Fernald is the candidate running against Senator Dianne Feinstein, and Marcy Winograd is running against Jane Harman in the L.A. area. Jonathan Tessini is our guest. He is running against Hillary Rodham Clinton coming up in the November. Is the primary in November? Or no, it's before then. When's the primary?
It's Jonathan? September 12th.
September 12th. Jonathan is a Democrat. Hillary Clinton is not. It's I don't know how else to put it. And if you go to Jonathan's website, TessiniForNewYork.org, you will find his position on the issues that are critical to just about everyone in the country at this point, whether the Republicans know it or not. These are especially critical times and especially critical issues. You were about to touch on, I think, immigration.
Mike, I think that one of the when we were talking about the new rules for the economy and corporate power, one of the things that's troubled me in the debate about immigration is, you know, people are under enormous amount of stress, working Americans. And one of the things that's happened is, once again, they've been told that they need to find a scapegoat. And the scapegoat is the illegal immigration and the people who are here illegally. And the fact is that illegal immigrants are not what's hurting the average American. It's corporate power and the things we talked about, the pensions being ripped off, wages not going up, jobs going abroad. And illegal immigration, in my opinion, has very little to do with the stress that average working Americans throughout the country are under. And what strikes me is how the debate fails to recognize the actual role that we in the United States, the U.S. government, has played in creating illegal immigration. And I'll say in a short way, as short as I can, our foreign policy, remember back in the 1980s when we were funding military dictatorships in El Salvador and Guatemala, and thousands of people fled to come here, frankly, illegally, because they fled for their lives and because they were impoverished. Our global economic policy, the so-called free trade that Hillary Clinton supports and that Bill Clinton supported, that has impoverished people in Mexico and certainly in other places in South America. That's why people have fled to come here to find jobs. So the easiest way to deal with illegal immigration is to stop what I consider to be an immoral foreign policy and reinvigorate and shift to an economic global policy that encourages people to have a decent livelihood in other countries.
Yeah, we've talked about that, in fact, on this program, Jonathan. I think another issue in the text, the overall text of this so-called immigration problem, and my grandparents were immigrants, so I have a hard time. My grandfather barely spoke English all of his life. I have a hard time with this issue sometimes. But the jobs that the immigrants story that these are jobs Americans could take is nonsense. If the minimum wage were raised tomorrow to a livable wage, all of these jobs that are available that Americans are not taking, Americans would take. So there is that. Now that sounds a little bit greedy and a little grasping, but on the other hand, I don't know what else to say when people talk about the jobs that are being taken by immigrants, legal or illegal. These are not jobs being taken. These are jobs being offered by employers at a reduced rate because they can get away with it. So I think that needs to be made clear. I hope people understand that.
I think it's hard for people to understand because, again, we're being pitted one against the other, and that's a common thing that's happened throughout history, and corporations have been very successful at that. And I think what I'm trying to do in this campaign is shift people back to realizing who the real enemy is and who is impoverishing average Americans, whether you're illegal or legal, We know who is creating rich and poor. And frankly, again, Hillary Clinton is on the wrong side of this time after time. She sat on the board of Walmart for 6 years. She's now embracing Rupert Murdoch. This is someone who working Americans cannot count on to defend themselves.
Well, frankly, I no longer see anything in Hillary Clinton's activities as a senator or in her whatever platform she has that even remotely resembles the Democratic Party that I'm familiar with. The war, I think people who are following you, your effort here, are aware that you are on this bike ride through the state of New York to spotlight the damage caused by the Iraq war, not just there, but here also. Your position, if I'm not incorrect, your position is similar to Representative John Murtha's immediate withdrawal?
Actually, I don't support Murtha's position because Murtha wants to leave troops at forward bases, and what my actual position is that's very similar to Jim McGovern, congressman from Massachusetts, who is calling for an immediate cutoff of funds for any offensive action in Iraq. Funds can only be used for immediate safe withdrawal of troops, reconstruction of Iraq, and funding for an international security force made up of the UN, NATO, surrounding countries that would replace the U.S. military. It's good that Murtha ignited the debate, but he is, in my opinion, not going far enough. I'm much more in the McGovern position. And it's essentially the text of the, you mentioned earlier in the show, it's essentially the text of the petition that we are circulating throughout New York and trying to get voters to sign that we're bringing to the state Democratic Convention at the end of the month.
Election reform is almost as essential as withdrawal from Iraq if this country is going to survive. The Diebold machines, the ESS machines, all of this electronic voting, and I've said before on this program, I'm certainly not a Luddite. I have great respect for and appreciation of technology, but not this technology because it's proprietary. We don't know what's going on. As far as I'm concerned, the past three national elections have resulted in candidates on the Republican side stealing offices that they did not earn through the voting process. A lot of people will debate that issue until hell freezes over. But what is your position on election reform?
I'm for paper ballots. You know, I like to give this popular culture example. I happen to be, among other things, a fan of Battlestar Galactica. You know, it's the science fiction program.
Right, right.
And they held it, if you remember, there was one segment where in this futuristic society where they're flying around in battleships, you know, space and all that, they hold an election for president and they use paper ballots. And I think to myself, if a technologically advanced society, you know, centuries in the future can use paper ballots, why can't we?
Really?
You know, and then that's simple. Now, beyond paper ballots, I think the other thing you have to have is you have to have real voting reform that makes sure that in black neighborhoods there's enough voting machines and that they work and people don't have to stand in line for 9 or 12 hours. And so a lot of that's about the mechanism and not just the way in which you vote in terms of casting your ballot. So I think that's very complicated. There's a friend of mine named Mark Ritchie is running for Secretary of State in Minnesota. And one of the reasons he decided to run for that position is he is right with what you just said. If we don't have real election reform, and if we progressives don't control the machinery of elections, we'll never change the country.
That's very true. Your website also talks about your position on what I think is one of the driving forces in a very negative way of our problems in the Middle East, and that is our one-sided support constantly of the state of Israel. Your position on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict seems to be, again, in more or less a parallel mind. That's why I found what I read at your website so easy to support. But just in a couple of sentences, if you can. No, never mind, because we're almost out of time, Jonathan. I can go ahead if you want to.
I can do it very fast. Look, my parents are both immigrants. My father was born in what was then Palestine. I'm a Jew, and I am for an independent Palestinian state that's economically viable, not cut up into Bantustans, a two-state solution. And the reason is that's important for Palestinians and for Israelis. Before we run, donate to our website, if you can give us one more pitch on that, because we are running against someone who's got Rupert Murdoch on their side.
Yeah, well, you're going to need money. It's TassiniForNewYork.org, T-A-S-I-N-I for New York, all spelled out, .org. Jonathan, I hope we can talk again. I really want people to know about you, not just people in New York, but people across the country, and I hope people will go to your website and make a contribution. Thanks, Jonathan. Good luck on the rest of your ride, okay?
It's been a pleasure. Be happy to come back sometime.
All right. Take care. We'll be in touch.
See you now.
Quick break. We'll be back. This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Okay, class, let's get back to vocabulary. Who can use the word rich in a sentence? Allison?
I like the rich colors of autumn leaves.
Very good. Kenny?
Rich chocolate Ovaltine rocks!
Okay, Kenny. Try another one.
Ovaltine has a rich chocolatey taste. It's rich in nutrition, and it's richer in vitamins and minerals than Nesquik powder.
I get the point, Kenny. You love your Ovaltine, but...
That's rich chocolate Ovaltine, Mrs. McGee.
Got it.
More Ovaltine, please!
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
end your day screaming. With Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Square. It's coming from a field that just ain't exactly real. Or it's real, but it ain't exactly there.
21 past. Hey, listen, really, check out Jonathan Tassini's website, will you please? We've had some candidates on this program. We're going to have some more who really do have the desire, the energy, the ability, the drive, the decency to turn things around. And these are the people we have to support. So please, just check out his website. Thank you. Bush signed a tax relief bill. Tax relief, what's it called? The Tax Relief Extension Reconciliation Act of 2005 today. Signing the tax cut extension will extend it until 2008. Now, what is this? This is, first of all, it was passed in the Senate by a 54-44 vote, yeah. Mostly along party lines. And the bill went to Chucklenuts for his signature, so He gathered all of his, a bunch of white-skinned monkeys were standing around him today as he signed this. Republicans are clutching onto this new law like vultures, clutching a piece of rotting flesh, you know, hoping against hope it'll give them some kind of positive news to bring home to the suckers this November. The answer is it will if all their voters in their districts are either millionaires or morons. Otherwise, it's not going to do very much. At the signing ceremony this morning, Bush said, "It's a good day for American workers and families and businesses." Yeah, if you make $1 million a year or more. Now, if you have a mutual fund for your family, these tax cuts made you better off. If you're a senior who depends on Bush, I'm still quoting Bush here. I'm sorry, I should have made that clear. If you have a mutual fund for your family, these tax cuts make you better off. If you're a senior who depends on dividend income to make ends meet, these tax cuts have led to a better check each month. Now, all those income, the tax cuts on dividends and capital gains are letting Americans keep more of their own money and live a better life. We'll continue to be wise with the people's money in Washington. We'll continue to work to make sure the tax cuts are permanent. The bill I signed today is a victory for American taxpayers. No, it's not. It's a victory for tax evaders. And every place he said American or people, just insert the adjective rich in front of that word as he babbled on. Here's the reality. 68% of all American households will receive no tax cut at all from this legislation. Do you understand me? This is from the, these figures are from the nonpartisan, oh damn, what's the name of it? Anyway, trust me on it. 68% of all American households will receive no tax cut at all from the legislation. Families with incomes of $50,000 a year will be getting a $46 tax cut. And the average reduction for households in the middle fifth of the income distribution flow will be $20. These sons of bitches. I can't tell you. I cannot tell you how much I despise and loathe these people for what they're doing to political discourse, to honesty, to decency, to my country. I just... Take a breath. Okay. $20, that's the average reduction for households in taxes in the middle fifth of the income distribution. $20, that's half a tank of gas. Now, that's a real victory, is it not, for working families? But here's the good news. There is good news. By God, there's good news. If you're a millionaire, Hannity and his scummy ilk, oh, this is wonderful. Households with incomes over $1 million will get a $43,000 tax break. Yes! Representative Louise Slaughter, a Democrat from New York, said during the House debate on this bill that Republicans keep, quote, passing bills that raise our deficits, increase our staggering debt, while they give away tax breaks for the wealthiest corporations in the world. and provide more obscene tax relief for the wealthiest 1% of Americans. And the rest of America gets left behind at the restaurant holding the check, unquote. I can't stand it. And all of this crap, this garbage, this filthy, continual rape of America by these thugs is reported by news media, television news media, as a ceremony of tax cuts for Americans. Nobody takes the time. Not one of these son of a bitches on television will take the time. And how long did it take for me to read to you what the cuts were? What did that take? About 90 seconds. And they just won't do it. They won't do it. The real winners and losers of Bush's tax extension was put together by the Urban Institute and the Brookings Institution. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Molloy.
This is the Mike Molloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm Janine Garofalo, and it doesn't matter if you're black, white, gay, straight, male, or female. AIDS has taken its toll on all kinds of people around the world for over 20 years, and it is still everybody's problem. Register for AIDS Walk. Together, we can make AIDS history.
There are more than 75 walks happening all over the country throughout the year. For a comprehensive guide that will help you locate the AIDS Walk event closest to you, visit AIDSWalk.org. That's AIDSWalk.org. A message from Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm Dr. Katie Rodan. Dr. Kathy Fields and I created Proactive Solution because acne is the number one problem we see in our practices. As dermatologists, we treat acne as a physical condition. But what really affected us was seeing the emotional toll acne takes. So maybe you're the one with the breakouts. You shy away from social situations. You avoid being photographed. Or you won't leave the house without makeup. So what's preventing you from trying Proactive? My guess is that you're afraid. You're afraid that it just won't work. Afraid to get your hopes up, only to be disappointed. This time you don't have to worry. We are so confident that Proactive will work for you that I'm offering you a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactive Solution.
Just call 1-800-426-0651 and you'll become a believer. Let Proactive prove it. Call 1-800-426-0651 for your risk-free trial. Call 1-800-426-0651. Call now.
2 years ago, I had a heart attack right here in our restaurant. If it weren't for Bayer aspirin and some quick thinking on my son's part, who knows? To me, Bayer's an amazing thing. I mean, just think about it. The same Bayer aspirin my son takes for his backaches and my daughter for headaches helped save my life. Bayer's an important part of this family. Always will be. It truly is a wonder drug.
Genuine Bayer aspirin, working wonders every day. Aspirin taken as directed by a doctor during a suspected heart attack. Use as directed.
capable of being wise about the money.
Twenty-six before the hour. Jack Murtha was verified something that we as Americans probably don't want to have verified. I guess it's not quite me lie, but it's starting to get closer and closer. A Pentagon probe into the death of Iraqi civilians last November in the city there of Haditha will show that U.S. Marines, quote, killed innocent civilians in cold blood, end quote. That's according to Jack Murtha. As it's being reported, it says from the beginning, Iraqis in the town of Haditha said U.S. Marines deliberately killed 15 unarmed Iraqi civilians, including 7 women and 3 children. One young Iraqi girl said the Marines killed 6 members of her family, including her parents. She said, "The Americans came into the room where my father was praying and shot him." On Wednesday, today, John Murtha said the accounts are true. Military officials told NBC News that the Marine Corps' own evidence appears to show Murtha is right. A videotape taken by an Iraqi showed the aftermath of the attack, a blood-smeared bedroom floor and bits of what appears to be human flesh and bullet holes on the walls. Military officials say Marine Corps photos taken immediately after the incident show many of the victims were shot at close range in the head and chest, execution style. One photo shows a mother and young child bent over on the floor as if in prayer, shot dead. Military official says it appears that civilians were deliberately killed by the Marines who were outraged at the death of their fellow Marine. One official told NBC News, "Yeah, this one is ugly." 3 Marine officers, commanders at Haditha, have been relieved of duty, and at least 12 Marines in all are under investigation for what would be the worst single incident involving the deliberate killing of civilians by U.S. military in Iraq. The Marine Corps issued a statement in response to Murtha's remarks. Here's the statement. "This is an ongoing investigation. Therefore, any comment at this time would be inappropriate and could undermine the investigatory and possible legal process. As soon as the facts are known and decisions on future actions are made, we will make that information available to the public to the fullest extent allowable." You lying son of a bitch. No, you won't. No, you won't. You're taking American young men and turning them into vicious monsters. Isn't this what the Nazis did? I seem to remember history, World War II history, that the Italian, especially Italian partisans, the ones who were fighting the Nazis, fighting fascism, if a German soldier was killed, the entire village, all the men and boys would be taken out and executed. Simon, who listens to this program in the UK, writes, "Jack Murtha held a press conference today exactly 6 months after he first said get out of Iraq. He said it again today. Also, he basically confirmed the stories we've been hearing about the executions at Haditha, where U.S. Marines killed 2 whole families, including a lot of children, out of revenge for losing one of their own. Let's see," Simon writes, "carpet bombing, napalm, white phosphorus, fire-free zones, torture, use of weapons of mass destruction, and now, knowingly and remorselessly executing defenseless civilians. Haven't I seen this sick movie somewhere before? If there is one outrage above all others for which these chicken hawks should rot, it's turning previously good people into the Waffen-SS when you know, given the chance, these cowards would never do their own dirty work." I remember we talked about this, didn't we, Kathy, when the story first broke. It's just astonishing. It's astounding. But of course, it's not. Anyone who served in combat will tell you, because I've been told, that this is what happens. This is what happens. And when you have a blisteringly psychotic dictator in charge like George W. Bush or Adolf Hitler or Benito Mussolini or whoever it is, this is what happens. This is what happens. Executing children. You sons of bitches. You people who did this, you're not Marines. You're scum. You're not Marines. You're scum. You're filth. You should be executed. You should be shot. You should be tried and shot right there in Iraq, you dirty bastards. And it goes all the way up the chain of command, all the way up to this punk, filthy, murderous vampire, Rumsfeld. Rumsfeld. Rumsfeld acknowledged today a debate within the Bush crime family on whether an army manual now under revision should permit different interrogation methods for so-called enemy combatants than for traditional prisoners of war. What are they talking about here? Torture. Ripping people to pieces. Wrapping them in sleeping bags and beating them to death. Ah, you filthy bastards. This is what you've done to the U.S. military. This is what you've done to the U.S. military. And to the soldiers or the Marines who do this, shame on you. Shame on you in a way that honorable soldiers and Marines down through the past 200 years of this country are screaming at you tonight. Screaming at you for what you've done. The Pentagon, this nest of vipers, snakes, murderers, set out to revise the Army Field Manual, which sets the standards for interrogation of prisoners. Because of what happened, what was revealed, not what happened, but what was revealed at Abu Ghraib. But the completion of this Army Field Manual has been delayed over and over and over and over again. And during a hearing before a Senate subcommittee today, Richard Durbin, Illinois Democrat, got into a little back and forth here with this pig Rumsfeld, with this filthy, filthy, murderous pig Rumsfeld. This guy really disgusts me. George Bush is a joke. Dick Cheney is an ass. But Rumsfeld and Negroponte and a handful of these other ones are classic mass Nazi-like killers who corrupt and pollute and destroy and eat away at the fabric of the society like termites and rats and vermin. Listen to this exchange between Durbin and the pig.
There's been a question as to whether you're going to make some distinctions in the Army Field Manual in the way we treat prisoners. And the standard that was published in the Army Field Manual, an unclassified document, was that we would not employ interrogation technique against prisoners that would be considered unlawful if it were employed against American service members.
Let me try to respond. The Army Field Manual has been, the rewrite has been undertaken. It's completed. It's been completed for a number of weeks. The part of your question leads me to believe that it goes to the question.
The law says there would be one uniform standard. That was the McCain Amendment. There were no distinctions. Was that what the Army Field Manual will be recommending? And the interrogation techniques that will be included would be interrogation techniques which we wouldn't find lawful if they were used on American service members?
Yeah, I'm not a lawyer, as you know. And
you bastard!
There is a debate over the difference between a prisoner of war under the Geneva Convention and an unlawful combatant. And those issues are being wrestled with at the present time.
There's no distinction, you lying, murderous pig. It's a distinction that you and your psychopathic killers came up with. Who in the hell says such a thing exists as an enemy combatant? But there he sits. There this murderous, flesh-eating pig sits. This disgusting disgrace to every single American, dead and living. There he is. Evil, psychotic killer. Goebbels, Himmler, Heydrich, Hitler. There he is. What did the media say about this pig a couple of years ago? Oh, he's like a rock star. Oh, the ladies just get all a flutter when he enters the room. Yeah, I get a flutter too. It's just, I can't, can't get this through my head. I listen to Randy Rhoads sometimes, and Randy will say, she'll get into something like this, and she'll say, I don't even understand this. I don't even understand this. And I know exactly, you know, I know exactly what she, you know, what Randy is going through at that moment. I don't understand this. I don't understand this. I can't process it. Neither can I. Neither can so many people. I mentioned Randy because we're colleagues on the network. There are millions of us that can't understand this. How did we get to this? How did we let these carnivorous sons of bitches take over this government? And why don't we drive them out tomorrow? There must be an answer to that, right? There must be an answer to that. They are corrupting and destroying and defiling everything. The Constitution, all of our national symbols, they squat and defecate on the flag and the eagle and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. We'll be back after the break.
Before I met you, I'll break a thousand more, baby. Before I am through, I want to be yours, pretty baby. Yours and yours alone. I'm here to tell you now that I'm bad to the bone. Bad to the bone.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. One of the best things about getting an 8-pound Orrick XL vacuum is what you don't get, namely, a cloud of dust in your face every time you turn it on or when you empty it, which means you won't get a house full of bacteria that travels on dust. Call 1-800-989-4200 for free literature or a free 30-day home trial. You'll breathe easier knowing it's an Orrick XL. 1-800-989-4200.
You're on the Ovaltine Nutrition Hotline with nutritionist Felicia Stoller.
Hi, I just found out that I'm lactose intolerant, but I love chocolate milk. Can I still use Ovaltine?
You sure can. Just add rich chocolate Ovaltine to your lactose-free milk. Not only does Ovaltine make lactose-free milk taste better, it also makes it better for you. That's because rich chocolate Ovaltine has 16 vitamins and minerals. So turn lactose-free milk into delicious chocolate milk that's really nutritious with rich chocolate Ovaltine.
More Ovaltine, please!
I hear the voices, and I read the front page, but I'm the decider, and I decide what is best, and what's best is for Don Rumsfeld to remain as the Secretary of Defense.
I would not run from the Holocaust. I would not run from the bomb. I'd welcome the chance.
Regarding the attack in Haditha against the civilians, email here from Mickey says, Time magazine is responsible for the publication that made the Pentagon have to react to the incident. The footage proving the event was in the hands of Human Rights Watch, and no other news organization was willing to report on it except Time. The little girl's name is Iman, the little girl who was wounded, surviving her family with her younger brother, whom she has to take care of now at the age of 9, because her parents and grandparents are dead. They threw themselves in front of her to protect her. I just some of the stuff I just simply can't handle. You know, I really can't. And I know you can't either. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and whine like I'm the only one who can't handle this. I know you can't either. And there's no reason talking about Bush starting this war the same way that Hitler attacked Poland. It's exactly the same. There's not an iota of difference. I've seen too many of these pictures, and so have you. You've gone to the websites. Pictures of children with arms and legs blown off. Pictures of soldiers with their heads blown off. Pictures of Iraqi civilians with their guts blown out. Their skulls peeled back and brain tissue all over. This is George Bush and Donald Rumsfeld. And this pig, this subhuman pig, Rumsfeld, sits there and banters back and forth with Senator Durbin about whether or not the U.S. Army Field Manual is going to restrict torture. You son of a bitch. I just can't handle this. I can't get up in the morning. How about you? When you wake up in the morning, do you think about the murder that's being committed in your name? In Iraq, let's just focus on Iraq. Do you think about how our sons and some of our daughters are being totally perverted and jerked into the vile cesspools of hell by Rumsfeld and what he has done to the U.S. military, to the point that these Marines will execute children? How do you get through your day? You just push that out, right? You just push it out of your head. You push it out of your head. Well, let me tell you something. Those of you who don't have children, little children in the house, either because you don't have kids yet, or your kids are grown, or the grandkids live 9 states away, those of you who don't have a 2-year-old in your house the way I do, you are goddamn lucky. Where it concerns this issue. Because every time, every morning I wake up and I realize what is being done by this government, in Iraq, by this filthy, murderous government. And Molly comes thumping into my room and jumps up into our bed. Kathy's in my bed and jumps, Daddy! Mommy! And it's getting to the point where it is difficult for me, to look at my little curly-haired 2-year-old, almost 2 years old, and not think about these children that we are butchering, that we are murdering, that we are butchering and murdering and murdering and butchering and killing and slaughtering in Iraq. And I don't know what to do. I really don't know how to handle this. So if you don't have a little kid in your house right now, as much of a joy as a little kid is, consider yourself real fortunate. If you are also tuned into what's going on in your name and my name in Iraq, consider yourself real fortunate, because there is a knife-like, indescribable pain. If you're looking at your little kid or your grandkid, and you're also aware of what's going on in Iraq to other little children who are just as gorgeous as your kid, just as precious, just as wanting to have a life without even realizing that he or she wants to have a life. They're little kids, for Christ's sake. They don't know. And this Bush administration, this filthy, murderous Christian administration that perpetuates these atrocities over and over. This is I don't know how to handle this. I don't know how to handle it. Start the music, Kathy.
America Radio.
Look at your radio. Kind of cool, right? From somewhere far, far away, progressive voices are beamed directly to wherever you are on Air America Radio. You know, there's so much to say. We've tried archiving previous shows inside that radio of yours. We've tried stuffing it full of video feeds of Al Franken and Jerry Springer, The Majority Report, and more. But that part doesn't seem to be working. So the really great stuff that won't fit inside your radio is available right now from Air America Premium. We tried stuffing the homepage in your radio, but that didn't work either. So please use your computer instead. Find out about Air America Premium today at airamericaradio.com.
Every day, Aleve helps millions of people overcome the pain of arthritis. In recognition of Arthritis Month, Aleve is bringing one of their stories every day.
I'm Phyllis Ocean, and this is my story. When I was diagnosed, my arthritis was in my knees. I started using Aleve. You don't know how good you feel until the pain is gone.
31 people, 31 stories, 31 days of good news. That's a daily dose.
Aleve works for me.
Watch for a new story each day on national TV and AleveGoodNews.com. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser. Stocks tumbled on Wall Street Wednesday as concerns over inflation and possibly higher interest rates sparked a huge sell-off. Investors sold shares of banks, industrial conglomerates, and other rate-sensitive stocks. General Motors was partly responsible for the market dive after announcing the resignation of its chief accounting officer. Also feeling the pinch were ExxonMobil and Alcoa. The Dow Jones Industrial Average declined more than 2% or 214 points. The NASDAQ fell 33 points and the S&P 500 slipped 22 points. The NASDAQ lost all of its gains made so far this year. The major sell-off was sparked in part by economic data showing inflation pace rose last month. Thousands of immigrants and their supporters rallied on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. Wednesday. They called on Congress to adopt reforms that would legalize undocumented immigrants living in the U.S. Demonstrators strongly condemned a provision in a House immigration measure that seeks to deport illegal immigrants and make them felons. Illinois Congressman Luis Gutierrez says undocumented immigrants deserve legalization.
At the end of the day, they can go to their homes with the security that they don't have to worry about being deported or being separated from their families.
Immigrants also spent the day lobbying members of Congress for reforms, including a clear path to citizenship. One day after video footage of the 9/11 terror attacks on the Pentagon was made public, a full-scale bioterror drill was conducted there. Correspondent Deirdre Blake has the details.
The more than 60 panic-filled Red Cross actors were supposedly exposed to high levels of anthrax that was released inside and outside the facility. Pentagon Force Protection Agency Director Paul Bendis says the goal of these drills is to improve coordination.
Our key points were making sure that was the Department of Defense well integrated with Arlington County Public Health, as well as other federal officials, and we achieved that.
Victims were staged inside the main doors of the Pentagon, and an orderly evacuation was attempted. They then went through decontamination showers set up nearby and received mock antibiotics. In Arlington, Virginia, I'm Deirdre Blake.
And you're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Welcome back. Seven past the hour. I'm going to come to your phone calls here in just a second, but I want to share something with you that somebody sent to me today. It's from the New York Daily News. It was originally published a couple of months ago, about 5 months ago. So it's written by Gregory Wallens. So just listen to this for a second, okay? The New York Historical Society's current exhibition, Slavery in New York, has such shocking scenes of slavery that the Society warns on its website that the exhibits might be painful. Nonetheless, the Society adds the message is, quote, ultimately uplifting, even inspiring, because slavery has important spiritual, moral, and political lessons, end quote. Those lessons should be taught not only by institutions like the Historical Society, but by our nation's leaders. And yet, one prominent leader, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, is sending out quite a different message. By maintaining a weekend home on Chesapeake Bay that was originally built and lived in by a singularly notorious slave owner, Edward Covey. The Defense Secretary's house, a former bed and breakfast, is known locally as Mount Misery. The name is well deserved. Edward Covey was not just a slave owner, he was a Negro breaker to whom other slave owners handed over rebellious slaves. The most famous slave Covey tried to break was Frederick Douglass, who later escaped and wrote Narrative of the Life of Frederick Douglass, one of that era's most important anti-slavery tracts. Douglass wrote, Covey succeeded in breaking me. I was broken in body, soul, and spirit. On a hot day in August 1833, Douglass collapsed in the field. Covey was at the house about 100 yards from where Douglass had been toiling. Seeing Douglass crawling along the yard, Covey kicked him savagely and beat him. Douglass, covered with blood, escaped and went back to his owner, Thomas Auld, to ask for his protection. Auld sent him back to Covey. In a stable, Covey tried to tie Douglass up to administer a beating. Douglass wrote, at that moment, from whence came the spirit, I don't know, I resolved to fight. I seized Covey hard by the throat, and as I did so, I rose. The two men fought for 2 hours until Covey gave up. Covey lawfully could have killed Douglass for striking a white man, but not wanting to risk his reputation as a Negro breaker, Covey left him alone. As Douglass later wrote, the fight, quote, revived within me a sense of my manhood and inspired me with the determination to be free, end quote, a dream that Douglass realized 4 years later. Most of the slaves sent to Covey were not so fortunate. It's an uncomfortable thought, to say the least, to imagine Rumsfeld relaxing in a house of horrors built by a man whose occupation was ended only by our great national catastrophe, the Civil War, in which hundreds of thousands of American soldiers died. And what about the sensitivities of the descendants of slaves, such as those sent to Covey? Had Mount Misery been turned into a museum, it would fulfill the New York Historical Society's goal to use slavery to teach spiritual, moral, and political lessons to the triumph of Frederick Douglass's spirit. Instead, we are left with the image of the defense secretary sitting in a lounge chair, surrounded by the ghosts of brutally tormented slaves and their vicious master, savoring a drink and enjoying a sunset over the bay.
Maybe he can have Trent Lott over and they can talk about how wonderful all the rebuilding is going on. Sip a mint julep on Trent's new porch, too.
Yeah, that would be something they could do, Kathy. You're absolutely right. All right, let's do some phone calls here, okay? I know a lot of you folks have been holding on a long time. I appreciate your patience. Let's go to Paul, who is calling in from Michigan. Paul, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi, Mike. First of all, what an oxymoron of all time when these conservatives view themselves as pro-life and the savagery that they support with the kind of people they support, you know, it's just... You can't even comprehend it, you know, pro-life.
yeah, I know.
It's just unbelievable. But anyways, I want to get to the Clintons, too, in a minute, but because they are part of the oligarchy, both Bill and Hillary, they've always been owned by the international, corporations. You can go back to Bill Clinton. I don't know how many people are familiar with him, with his one of his major mentors. I'm not going to try to explain it, but maybe it'll come out eventually. He had a major mentor he talked about when he first ran for president was Professor Carol Quigley, and wrote a major tome, Tragedy and Hope. And we'll see what comes up with that. I don't want to get into that right now, but I want to get into, this whole thing with this, spying on America. And, it's so pathetic. There are so many Americans in this country that are so ignorant to the lessons of history. And, for example, one of the founding fathers, we have to reiterate that, of this country. The founding fathers were flawed. We were coming out of the dark ages. I'm not even sure we even have yet come out of the dark ages.
Yeah, really.
But one of the founding fathers, and I'll leave it up for the brilliant conservatives to try to wonder who I'm talking about, but had some tremendous wisdom, because these men they looked at history. They were tremendous. They were historians, and they understood going back in history where they want to take this country, and that listen to government. Like what the Bush administration is doing is playing a fascist game in history. That if you want to believe in promise safety and security over your liberties and freedom, and willing to gain, you're not going to gain neither, nor you deserve neither. Which means that when these Republicans, and you listen to them, and they think that this presidency is going to protect us from terrorism, because we're going to give up our liberties and our freedoms, and that's going to protect us from terrorism, they're just conning us. And you're not going to get neither, and you're going to get neither. And you would think these conservatives in this country they think they're brilliant people. They have no clue of history. And all they'll do is they'll attack liberals and anybody else, and these people they're clueless on history.
Well, I understand what you're saying, Paul. Eventually they're going to become part of history, too. I just wish there was something I could do to speed up their becoming history. And I hope this country has learned a lesson. I would have thought we would have learned it with Nixon and possibly with Reagan, but maybe we have learned this lesson now with this clutch of neo-fascist bastards that own the Republican Party and, for the time being, own America. But we are going to throw them out or burn them out, one of the two.
We have to talk about it and keep this up, because it's all we have.
Well, that's very true. I swear before anything that anyone might consider holy, if the time comes when it's time for them to go, because the American people have said it's time to go and they don't go, I'll be the first one to take up a weapon. I swear I will. That's not a bravado. It's not macho, nothing. I'm not a very macho or bravado guy. I'm very quiet, and I like to read and play with my kid. But I swear I will do whatever's necessary.
And, I'm with you. None of us want that. You want to do it quietly. That's why we're talking right now. We have to stop this.
Oh, I understand. I understand.
And we have to get, and they own both sides. It's the oligarchy. Yep. And the Clintons are a part of it.
Well, sure they are.
And we have
to
stop the Clintons.
Well,
both of them.
Well,
and I will not vote for president if Hillary Clinton gets the nomination.
Well,
I will not be a part of that. She's a part of it. We got to talk about it. We cannot allow her to be a part of it. There's good guys like Mark Warner from Virginia and others. And also there's some good Democrat senators, but where we really have to go is to get the bums, the Democrats out of their bums. The primaries are the most important.
That's very true. The primaries are. Paul, I've got to leave it there. Thank you, pal. I appreciate you checking. I appreciate what you had to say. No, Hillary Clinton is not going to be president of anything, except maybe an organization, a humanitarian organization, something, a university. Maybe Hillary needs to get involved in something where she'll be exposed to so much horror and terror that will burn off once and for all this phony facade of hers and this equivocation on just about every single issue that comes up. I don't like her at all. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Sometimes can't even believe in. Cradled by the hands of faith, the faith that sometimes wraps around too tight, so tight. They call me free.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
It's time to decide. We don't need the decider. Hi, Truth Seekers. I'm Mike Malloy, and you can hear me on Air America Radio. If you're looking for that perfect, one-of-a-kind gift, visit ImpeachBushGame.com, where you'll find Impeached, the board game that exposes the high crimes of George W. and his criminal administration. From the Iraq War to today's outrageous gas prices, Impeached tells it like it is. Go to ImpeachBushGame.com. That's ImpeachBushGame.com, and buy a piece of history today.
Way. It's more of Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Earlier tonight, I made a mistake. I said Colleen, I said Marcy Winograd was running against Dianne Feinstein in California for that Senate seat, and then corrected myself and said, no, it's Colleen Fernald who is running against Dianne Feinstein. And I think Colleen is on the phone right now. Hi, Colleen. I hope you're not really, really angry with the screw-up I made. Are you?
No, not at all. Gave you a chance to promote both of us.
That's true. Hey, listen, we want to book you on the program where you can really talk instead of a phone call like this. Has Kathy gotten in touch with you yet?
No.
Okay, well, she's going to do it tomorrow.
Okay.
She will send you an email, and we will. How's your schedule look the rest of this week?
Well, I'll make time for you, Mike.
All right, Thursday or Friday night, I'd like to get you on the program where we can talk about issues. And give your website, if you would, so that people can go to your website, and we'll try to get you on Friday night. That'll give them a day or two to look at what you're about. What's your website?
Well, it is a work in progress, just like all of us. And
right.
It's www.colleen, Fernald is Fernald, and it's forsenate.org.
Colleen Fernald for Senate.org.
It is.
All right. All right. Let's watch your email. We have your email address, and Kathy's shaking her head. She'll send you an email tomorrow, and we'll try to book you on Friday night, okay?
Okay.
Thanks, Colleen. And
thank
I
you.
Do apologize for mixing you up with another good candidate whom you met in Sacramento. I'm sure you know her, Marcy Winograd.
Yes, just, and I'm very much in support of her.
Right. Just you guys are running to knock off two other candidates, not the ones I mentioned. So mm-hmm. I apologize for the mix-up. We'll talk this week, okay?
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Colleen. Jerky, our bureau chief at large, is on the phone. Hey, Jerky.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Oh, not too bad, all things considered.
Well, that had to sink in for a second. Yeah, not too bad, all things considered. Good. God, things are going to hell in a handbasket.
It's pretty incredible.
I was saying in the last segment, I really don't know how to handle it anymore. I listen to my colleague and good friend Randy Rhodes during the day, and I hear her saying the same thing. I hear people that I hang out with saying the same thing. I don't know how to handle this anymore. I don't know what to do. You know, I know people who are seriously ready to get violent. And you know, you have to say to them, wait, now it's not quite the time.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
It would be an impossible fight anyway in terms of direct action of that nature.
Oh, I know, I know.
It'd be a kind of like a...
A butcher of fight. Yeah.
But things are moving in a very odd direction and a kind of a probably unprecedented direction in the United States. Not since this, it's worse than the Red Scare. It's worse probably than the labor disputes of the 30s and then prior to that, like the 1890s.
Mm-hmm.
Just in terms of the technologies that are available to the powers that be to wield against people who are going against the grain, say.
That's right.
In terms of surveillance, in terms of putting down just direct action of the nature that we were talking about earlier,
mm-hmm.
With their, you know, it sounds like goofy science fiction stuff, but sonic weapons and pain wave weapons that were deployed at the Republican convention in New York
mm-hmm.
in 2004, you know, just mass roundups. Dumping people into makeshift private prisons. If you want to see what it's going to be like across America, at least in urban areas, within the next couple of years, if things don't change in a serious way and soon, all you have to do is go back and read news reports about what it was like to be in New York during the 2004 Republican convention there, Republican convention.
Mm-hmm.
Where people were arrested for no reason, just rounded up. The cops and also private security people they had these orange plastic nets, literally netting people, where they would show up on one side of the street, and they'd have this white, kind of like those, you know, those little plastic nets that some people.
Oh, yeah.
like a plastic fence, and then they'd encircle a huge group of people and say, everybody in here. Get you know is going to jail basically, and then they were taken off to the docks basically, and dumped into a toxic sludge dump, an old bus depot, and left there for 2-3 days. Some people,
Hey, Jerky, I hate to interrupt you right in the middle of the thought. Can you hold it?
Yes, sir.
We got to do a break. We'll come back and finish up on the other side of this break, all right? We're talking with our at-large bureau chief, Jerky, who has phoned in from God knows where. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy. This is Air America.
I'm younger than you. Even Jesus would never forgive what you do. Let me ask you one question. Is your money that good? Or will it buy your forgiveness? Do you think that it could? I think you will find when your death takes its toll, all the money you made.
This is the Mike Molloy Show on Air America Radio.
When it comes to HIV and young Americans, some politicians promote an abstinence-only policy. This is Al Franken, and I'm encouraging abstinence from complacency and inaction. Take action in the fight against AIDS and help make AIDS history.
There are more than 75 walks happening all over the country throughout the year. For a comprehensive guide that will help you locate the AIDS Walk event closest to you, visit AIDSWalk.org. That's AIDSWalk.org. A message from Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. Talk about unsanitary. A leading consumer testing magazine warns, if you're sensitive to dust, avoid bagless vacuums or wear a dust mask. Imagine vacuuming your house wearing a dust mask? Friends, try my hypoallergenic 8-pound Orrick XL free for 30 days. It's 99.99% dust-free. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200.
Nice shot! Time out!
Basketball's fun, but I need a cold drink.
My mom's making rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Ovaltine? Let's go!
I guess the kids will be home soon.
Let's make rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Come on! Sarah's mom's making
rich chocolate Ovaltine.
All right!
My kids love Ovaltine's rich chocolate taste.
And I love all those vitamins and minerals that you won't find in Nesquik powder.
Mom, we're back.
Who wants Ovaltine?
We do.
We better make more.
More Ovaltine, please.
Hey, True Seekers, Mike Molloy here. Are you as alarmed as I am by the assault on our freedoms by the religious right? An essential element of freedom is the right to choose or reject religious beliefs. And this is why I fully support the Freedom From Religion Foundation as it takes the lead in challenging the growing threat from the religious right in the United States. If you'd like further information on the dangers of living in a theocracy, please call 800-335-4021. 800-335-4021 or visit their website, ffrf.org.
We'll be right back.
If you're not outraged, then you're just not paying attention. It's Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
26 before the hour, and we're talking with Jerky, our at-large bureau chief. All right, Jerky, where were we?
Well, I think in the middle of despair, actually. But
yeah, right, up to our chins.
And I think it's a justified despair because, you know what, it seems to me like what we do here on places like, you know, Democratic Underground and on Air America Radio and in other various liberal and sometimes so-called liberal venues is we're just kind of trying to make, we're like mice trying to make out the shape of the owl that's eating us alive.
Oh, God.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
And it's like, if we, so, you know, so what if we know, you know, what color the its crest is on above
right.
Nose, you know?
Right.
It's like, it feels futile sometimes. I don't mean to bring you down or your listeners down or,
oh, no,
I don't
that,
think it's
that,
possible.
No, that would never happen.
Yeah. But, you know, I've been doing a lot of deep reading about the political philosophers behind some of the movements that are running us today and trying to distill what I've learned into, you know, as few words as possible because it can get pretty dense and kind of ponderous.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what it boils down to on the conservative side of things is a difference in our understanding of the word, of what freedom means, what it means to be free. And liberals, a group in which I count myself, and I think you, I'm pretty sure you're a part of that too.
Oh, sure.
See
absolutely.
Freedom as a good thing, even occasionally when it doesn't yield, the very, you know, most docile of results in the short term.
Right.
Freedom and truth are important. Conservatives see freedom, basically equate freedom with chaos.
Right.
And the worst thing for a conservative is chaos. So when things change, when there's a flux, when there's a shake up in the status quo, when order is disturbed, conservatives are upset, no matter whether that perturbation is for the will be for the better in the long run. There are some touchy issues related to this, one of them being religion. And it's the great dilemma, the tar baby, as our new press secretary mm-hmm. said the other day. I didn't think that was a racist comment. I don't think it.
No, I don't think it was either.
It
no.
relates to the Brer Rabbit.
Sure.
The tar
sure.
baby is when you touch it you can't let go. And,
that's right.
But religion for Democrats now, I think that's the single biggest obstacle to us getting justice in the United States over what's happened in the last 6 years is the fact that so many Americans. More than in any other nation, including in Islamic nations. America is the most religious nation in the world, the most developed and the most religious.
That's a dangerous combination.
Absolutely.
And when that religion is played upon the way Bush plays, Bush and his cronies play the religious right in this country like a harp. It's just amazing to see how quickly they get up and dance with this psychotic bastard every time he... starts touting his own Christianity, but you know, as far as chaos, I don't know. I think what you're saying, are you not, that conservatives are not afraid of chaos? It's not chaos they're afraid of; it's the fear of chaos.
Well, they like managed chaos. That's what when you look at what they've done. You know, this administration is doing everything in its power to inculcate fear in us and in,
right.
In the population at large, then wielding that fear as their most powerful weapon against us,
right.
Against freedom, which seems obvious when you look at what they're doing as a result of this fear. They're spy on everybody. You know, we have to peek in everybody's windows to make sure nobody's building a nuke in their bedroom. You know, we have to amass vast amounts of information about every single citizen in the United States, if not the world, because what if, you know, what if one of them slips through and does something bad? You know, and they're just they're wielding this fear very effectively, I'm sad to say, as a weapon against us, against freedom, against centuries-old constitutional guarantees and protections. against everything that America stands for, and basically against everything that stands in the way of their New World Order plan. You know, and I know I know that sounds kind of like that sets off alarm bells. Uh-oh, New World Order plan, but
yeah,
there really is.
And did you ever stop and think? I'm sure you've discovered this prior to some of the reading you're doing now. There's never been any such thing as a liberal dictator.
No, that's true.
It's impossible. They all have been absolute nationalistic conservatives. I don't care if it's been Stalin or Hitler or Pol Pot or, I mean, just go down the list. Julius Caesar, Alexander the Great. It doesn't make any difference.
Oh, yeah.
Genghis Khan. Every single dictator, not one, was ever a liberal. And I think what they've done is project that horrible fear of the possibility of things falling apart or the center not holding or chaos, and so in externalizing that fear, they force people into camps and ovens and regimentation and fear and war and death and destruction, and the entire human species suffers for it. They should be removed. There should be a way to literally excise conservatives or, to be less brutal, conservative thought from, of course, then we're getting into mind control and we're just as bad as they are.
Well, I think when you look at the example of the anti-communist witch hunts of the 50s, that might be a good model for liberals to look at, because you couldn't be a communist. Yeah. Not a Stalinist, but you couldn't be a communist and hold any kind of position of any kind of authority in the United States in the 50s, 60s, 70s on, you know, a few tenured professors notwithstanding. And maybe it's time now for especially neoconservative Straussian theory, which comes from... comes out of it's Trotskyite thinking anyway.
It is.
Emerged from Trotsky.
Absolutely.
And maybe it's time to start looking at not just banning Trotsky's old way of thinking, but also maybe the ways of thinking that have developed from those people who were Trotskyites to begin with.
That's true. Jerky, I almost called you Trotsky. Jerky, thanks for the conversation here. I better move on though and let some other folks on.
Thanks a lot.
Always good to hear from you. Take care. Ah, yeah. If there could just be some sort of genetic thing, because I do believe, I'm starting to believe, there's very little I believe in, but I am starting to believe that the conservative or the neo-Nazi or the fascist or the totalitarian or the authoritarian or the controlling mindset that manifests in human history as a murdering right-wing conservative, and they all murder either directly or indirectly, that is genetic, that somehow it is some sort of a mutant, an aberration, and I'm waiting for the next evolutionary step where perhaps that would evolve out, if that's the proper term. Is that the proper term, Kathy? Evolve out? Huh? It is? Okay. That conservatism, so-called political conservatism, I'm not talking about the kind of conservatism that says let's conserve our natural resources, let's conserve our honor and decency and dignity. That's not what political conservatives are about. They're about, as Jerky pointed out, they're absolute colon-spasming fear of anything that might threaten order. It is so Nazi-like. I hate to go back to the Nazis, but they wrote the book on this. And everything that's being done to inculcate or instill fear in the American public comes right out of the Nazi handbook. It's just so blatantly, clearly obvious that I don't understand why everybody in the country didn't pick up on it 5 years ago. It's just I don't know. But I digress. Jan is calling from New York City. Jan, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on. I appreciate your patience.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
This isn't what I'm calling about, but the Nazis were very into a lot of homosexual stuff, and apparently so are our new leaders.
What? Wait a minute now. our new leaders, what are you talking about?
Bush, etc.
Well, now you got me a little bit upset. I have to admit it, Jan. You're equating gay folk with Nazis. Why are you? No.
This is self-hating gays. I live in Manhattan. I have massive gay friends, and that's not a problem for me. It's a problem for people who are homosexual and can't admit it, and so they go into.
I think in any population.
I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk.
Okay,
about
but no, wait a second. You dropped a stink bomb into my program, and I've got to take care of it before we move on. And Hold on. I'll give you some time coming back, but I think it's necessary to make it very clear that in any population. You'll find gay folk, straight folk, black folk, white folk, whatever. And because perhaps one or two of the Nazi high command may have been gay, means absolutely nothing. I guess I misunderstood what you were trying to say, Jan. And I want to make sure that the audience listening to the program doesn't misunderstand. Now we'll come back after the break and pick up your conversation. This is Air America.
And we'll never rest again until every Nazi dies.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Two years ago, I had a heart attack right here in our restaurant. If it weren't for Bayer aspirin and some quick thinking on my son's part, who knows? To me, Bayer's an amazing thing. I mean, just think about it. The same Bayer aspirin my son takes for his backaches and my daughter for headaches helped save my life. Bayer's an important part of this family. Always will be. It truly is a wonder drug.
Genuine Bayer aspirin, working wonders every day. Aspirin taken as directed by a doctor during a suspected heart attack. Use as directed.
Okay, class, let's get back to vocabulary. Who can use the word rich in a sentence? Allison?
I like the rich colors of autumn leaves.
Very good. Kenny?
Rich chocolate Ovaltine rocks!
Okay, Kenny, try another one.
Ovaltine has a rich chocolatey taste. It's rich in nutrition, and it's richer in vitamins and minerals than Nesquik powder.
I get the point, Kenny. You love your Ovaltine, but...
That's rich chocolate Ovaltine, Mrs. McGee.
Got it.
More Ovaltine, please!
about 10 before the hour. Thanks to, we're coming back to Jan in just a second. Thanks to our engineers in New York tonight, Justin Yuen and Jason Isaac. D. Neal, our associate producer there. Our senior correspondent, Chris in Minnesota, Mark Marshall, our webmaster, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org, and Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief. Catherine Bay produces this program. And also, don't forget to visit TassiniForNewYork.org, T-A-S-I-N-I, for NewYork.org. Check this man out, Jonathan Tassini, who's running against Hillary Clinton. All right, back to Jan in New York City. Jan, thanks for holding on.
Please let me talk about Tassini. I live in New York City. This election, this senatorial election, is going to be decided in the primary. There's no Republican. Three have tried. They've all dropped out. There's no Republican running against Hillary.
Uh-huh.
It's going to get decided in the primary. I vote. I vote in every primary. I vote in every general. And if people will please, please, if everyone who's listening to you will just send money to Tassini, I'm going to vote for him. I'm going to send money to him. That's where it's going to get decided, not in the general.
Right.
They can't wait until after, you know, they can't wait. It's got to be now.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
She's got $13 or $18 million already in her war chest. And if it goes to a general, he's dead meat. But this is an opportunity to get rid of her. A lot of people aren't going to vote in the primary because they're going to figure she's a shoo-in.
Yeah, that's crazy. People, this is the only way to clean house on Democrats who are not Democrats, but who are suck-ups to the Bush crime family, and Hillary Clinton has turned into that.
I called her office today. I called Schumer, I called my congressperson, and I called her about this corporate takeover of the Internet.
Uh-huh.
Schumer, I got to talk to a person. My congressperson, I got to talk to a person. Hillary, for the second time, 2 weeks ago I called about a different issue. All you get at Hillary now is an answering machine. They don't even bother to answer the phone.
Well, why should they? They figure they have it locked up.
Well, I'm a constituent.
Oh, I know.
I voted for her.
Trust me, I'm on your side. But I'm just saying, why should they bother to... why should she bother to debate Tassini? Why should she bother to respond to a constituent's phone call or even answer it? No need to. All the money in the world, well-connected, and a dino. Democrat in name only. Everybody knows it.
And
Hillary feels that she has it locked up.
It's so insulting. I call her office, and afterwards I want to take a shower. It's so offensive.
Well, I can understand that.
Please, everybody.
All right. Thanks a lot. I hope people do it. Thanks, Jan. Thanks for checking in. I do appreciate what you had to say. Reese is calling from Memphis. Reese, thanks for your patience. Welcome to the program. Hey, Reese. All right. Reese is gone. That's a shame. After holding on for 2 hours. Mark is calling from L.A. Mark, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Mike. Hey, I want to thank you. Good show today. And I agree, I do not live in New York, but I went to Tassini's site while I was listening to you.
Uh-huh.
And his position on all of the issues are very humane, and he's getting some money from me.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I mean, I'm not thanking on behalf of him. I'm just saying thank you for doing what you're doing. We all have to do that.
We really do. Now, the reason I'm calling is because earlier in the show when you started, you mentioned that you had a take on the Jason Leopold story that was in Truth Out about Karl Rove being indicted.
Yeah, yeah.
I know Mark Ash, who I believe is what runs Truth Out.
Yes.
Something today. I've been following this closely, and I'm very confused as to what's going on. What do you think about it?
Well, I didn't get to it, and I've got it right here in front of me. I have Mark Ash's statement. And about the third paragraph in the statement that he made today, he says the following: we can now report that we have additional independent sources that refute the denials by Corallo and Luskin. Those are the two attorneys for Karl Rove. While we had only our own sources to work with in the beginning, additional sources have now come forward and offered corroboration to us. We have been contacted by at least three reporters from mainstream media, network-level organizations, who shared with us off-the-record confirmation and moral support. When we asked why they were not going public with this information, in each case they expressed frustration with superiors who would not allow it. Now, there's more to this statement, but I'm sticking with Jason Leopold and Mark Ash and the people at Truthout. I've had one occasion to talk with Jason Leopold several years ago on the program I was doing at the time, I have found him to be correct and out in front. He's kind of like Greg Palast.
I agree in
that regard. And as far as Mark Ash is concerned, I'm a regular contributor to Truthout. I contribute money to Truthout because I use it as a source for so much stuff that I put on this program. So I have nothing but absolute faith in both of these people, Jason as a writer and an investigative writer, and Mark as someone who is legit and honest, and I'm going to stick with them. I know there's a lot of talk out there right now about this is a bogus story from the standpoint of a planted story by the Rove people, or that Jason missed this one. I don't believe either way. I believe the story is true, and I think it's going to come out.
Yeah, that's my gut instinct on this as well, and I'm certainly hoping that this doesn't turn out to be a setup or he got it wrong.
I don't think so. A writer, one single investigative reporter might be able to have, even someone as experienced as Jason, have the wool pulled over his eyes, but I don't think Mark Ash is going to risk the reputation of Truthout, and I don't think Jason would risk his own reputation either. So let's see what happens. Listen, I got a boogie. Time to go. Thanks a lot for checking in, and I'm sorry you held on for so long, Mark. Take care. That's it for tonight. We'll have more on the Jason Leopold story, well, the Karl Rove story, tomorrow night. Trust me on that. Anyway, thanks for participating. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care, okay? Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Look at your radio. Kind of cool, right? From somewhere far, far away, progressive voices are beamed directly to wherever you are on Air America Radio. You know, there's so much to say. We've tried archiving previous shows inside that radio of yours. We've tried stuffing it full of video feeds of Al Frank and Jerry Springer, The Majority Report, and more. But that part doesn't seem to be working. So the really great stuff that won't fit inside your radio is available right now from Air America Premium. We tried stuffing the homepage in your radio, but that didn't work either. So please use your computer instead. Find out about Air America Premium today at airamericaradio.com.
Who was the first automaker to introduce factory-installed safety belts and roll stability control? First to introduce emergency trunk releases and offer head and chest side airbags? And who is working on future safety innovations like lane departure warning and blind spot alert systems? It's Ford Motor Company. Ford engineers are working to help protect children, keep families safer, and save lives. Ford, driving American innovation.